Now I have a question for you. Can you hear me better this way? I hear an echo. Or can you hear me better this way? Which is clearer? Behind the mic. Super, thank you. I needed to know because I'd like you to be able to understand me. And I have a rather projecting voice, shall we say, when I preach. So I just didn't want to be doing the wrong thing for you. Thank you, Dave, for reading that passage of Scripture. I was ministering in a United Church a while ago, and Sunday after Sunday, they wanted me to preach, and I said, Lord, as long as you open the door, I'm going to be preaching, and I'm going to be sharing the Lord Jesus Christ there. I was told that I was not allowed to serve communion. And that was surprising to me because, it wasn't very surprising to me, but I had served, countless times I've served communion in my years of ministry, both in the United States as well as here in Canada. But I thought to myself one time, these people don't really know what communion really means. And so I decided, well, I might not be allowed to serve communion, but nobody's stopping me from preaching about communion. And so they got a good message on what communion is supposed to be. And I thought this morning, as we are gathering together in a few more minutes or so around the table of the Lord, that it might be interesting for us and maybe advantageous for us to just consider what is communion all about. If I were to put a title on my message this morning, it would simply be this: the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord. And we're gathered together around the Lord's table, or the table of the Lord. But in this passage of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, we get some clear instruction, not only of how God the Father, or rather God the Son, gave or served communion or gathered together with his disciples around that table, but we're given instruction also how we too should be sharing together around that table of the Lord. Now, the table of the Lord is a time of commemoration. It is a commemoration service. And I've taken two different parts here. Usually a good message, a good pastor will have a three-point sermon outline. I'm not that good. I only have two. And I want to talk in terms, first of all, of the commemoration of communion. And then after that, I want to talk to you about the celebration of communion. And I have 3 points. There's the 3 points. I have 3 points under my first point. When it comes to the commemoration, and I'll give it to you because I'm going to start in the Scriptures and I probably will forget all about my outline. First of all, it talks about the elements at the table. Secondly, it talks about his entreaty to the table. And thirdly, as I looked in this passage of Scripture, it talks about the examination before the table. The elements at the table. The entreaty to the table. The examination before the table. I think we're pretty much in agreement that as we look at the elements at the table, there are but two. One is the bread. The other is the cup. And in all of the passages of Scripture, in not only the Gospels, but also here in 1 Corinthians, we read that Jesus first took bread. Now understand that we serve communion in our churches in a number of different ways. And when I was asked to preside over the communion table, my first question is, well, how do they do it? Well, I've got a lot of information on that one.
But not anything that really would help me too terribly much, because someone told me, well, we do it a number of different ways. Well, okay, we're going to be doing it different today, I guess. But there is something in common in every single communion service, whether it's here or across the other side of the world. It involves the bread and it involves the cup. And when we think of the bread, we're thinking of the Lord's broken body. For he says, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Thus the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Now, if you go back into the Passover feast, if you go back into the time that Jesus was meeting with his disciples, in fact, when the Passover was ever done year after year, it was unleavened bread. It was a cracker. Now, I've done communion with little tiny pieces already cut up of bread, and without the crust, obviously. I've served communion or presided over a communion service where the loaf of bread was there, and the one presiding would break the loaf as he quoted this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus broke the bread. I've presided over it where the loaf was in a cup and ways, and they would come forward and they would take it and dip it and then eat it. And they didn't wait for one another. They did it as they went by and went returned to their seat. But the thing in common is this. Jesus took bread. And after he had taken bread, he took the cup. Now, we do not believe, as there are some who do, we do not believe that the bread is literally the body of Christ. We do not believe that the cup is literally the blood of Christ. Although we have both of those elements, the body and the blood of the Lord, that is represented in our communion service. I remember going to a Baptist church. Can you believe? It's called Bainbridge Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. And as they started the service, and they started it late, Steve, the ladies came in and started preparing the table, and it was in the summertime, and the gentleman that was up here, he apologized, you know. He said, well, I'm so sorry that we have to set the table now, but it's we had all kinds of problems. The person who was supposed to do it got sick, one thing after another, and they made the table, they covered the table, and at the end of the service, they served communion. Well, they passed the bread around. There's nothing unusual about that. And they waited on them, and then the one who presided said, this is the body of the Lord, take ye, for this is his body, which is broken for you. Everybody ate together. I'm a young theology student. Cup. And when it went around, they said the same thing, and everybody. want you to not only notice the elements, but I also want you to notice the entreaty. For in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do. And again, when it was the cup, it says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread and ye drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. My friends, the entreaty is simply this. Do it. Do it. We may differ, I should say, on how often we do it. I know churches that have communion every single Sunday. I think the Catholic Church has it very frequently, if it's not every week. I know churches that will have it the first Sunday of every month. I don't know if that's what you do, and I know some that'll have it every quarter. I know some that'll have it on a Sunday morning because all of the congregation is there. I know some that will have it better on a Sunday evening because more likely the people that come are those that love the Lord, not the people off of the street, and they want to have it on a Sunday evening. Some can have it Sunday morning. Some can have it Sunday evening. Some can have it every week. Some can have it once a month. Some can have it once a quarter. It doesn't matter. It's not expressed in Scripture how often, but it is expressed. The entreaty is there. Not only do we see the elements, but we see the entreaty. Not only is there the entreaty to the table, but there's the examination before the table. If you have your Bibles or your iPads or iPhones or whatever it is you have, and you have the Scripture, look at verse 28 with me, please. Verse 28 says this, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Dear friends, we don't enter into the table of the Lord or come before the table of the Lord lightly. God says we're to come there reverently. God says we're to come there not only with an expectation that God is going to meet us there, but we're to come humbly before him and we're to examine ourselves before we partake of those elements. And it says, let a man examine himself, and if I may put the word in, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I found three things that I think are important as far as this examination is concerned. Number one, it is with a spirit of contrition. It is with a spirit of contrition. Number two, it is with the act of confession. And thirdly, it is the response of cleansing. Search me, O God, the psalmist has said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. And let there not be any wicked thing, any wicked way be in me. Search me, O God. It's with a contrite heart, the Bible says, God will not despise. So it's contrition. It's confession. And finally, it's receiving that cleansing which God has promised to give. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the cleansing that he gives. And then, but very quickly, I want to bring our attention to the second point that I have, that the communion table is also a celebration. Not only do we see something of the commemoration of communion, but we see the celebration of communion. And I want you to notice two different things about it, only two. Number one, we are celebrating the fact that God has finished his work. I called it the efficacy. That means it has been done. It has been completed. It has been accomplished. The efficacy of his covenant. Because he said, this blood is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. The work is finished. The work is done. God's perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his broken body, his shed blood, is that which has finished and completed the righteous expectation of God so that we have full access into his presence. We are forgiven, and we can enter into his presence with joy. The efficacy of his covenant. But finally, the expectation of his coming. Now, guys, in your planning of the songs, I had two that I really love, because it says in verse 26, as often as you do this, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he come. Till he come. And we should be looking and expecting and be ready for and be anticipating the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do show the Lord's death till he come. We sang already, I have it written to quote the words, marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful words of the King, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians tells us in chapter 4 these words, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we look forward to his coming. One of the hymns probably in your hymnal is this, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came.